Firehouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWP Radio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We are live on the air. Thank you so much for joining us right here in our chat room on blogtalkradio.com/TWP Radio. This is episode number 40, and it is going to be one of our biggest episodes to date. Before we get started on this two-hour discussion on the whole entire Chris Benoit tragedy, you should head over to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Some awesome new articles are up, and we want your comments, so please leave a comment using the Discuss comment system and get on in the heated debate on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We're also looking for writers. If you enjoy writing and love professional wrestling, join Team PWP and become a member of our fun, team-oriented atmosphere. Also, give me a follow on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. Let me know you listen to the show. If you listen to PWP Radio, I will give you an automatic follow back. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. And last but not least, check out our Amazon store. Purchase anything from our Amazon store and help give back to the show so we can keep it free for you. We pay monthly to keep the show on the air, so if you're going to order anything off of Amazon, no matter what it is, whether it's boxer shorts or socks or diapers or TNA DVDs, whatever it is you like, go through the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Amazon store, and we get a small percentage of every single purchase through those links. You can find the link over at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. So now that all that BS is out of the way, hopefully going to pay some of our bills, we're going to get this show on the road, and we'll be talking about a man who has really done a lot in the pro wrestling business. He did tons. No matter what you think of him, you can't discredit what he did in the pro wrestling business. But the controversy surrounding the entire Chris Benoit tragedy, it's almost unsurmountable for a lot of fans. And we're going to talk about just about every aspect of that tonight here on the show. We'll pose a lot of questions, Did concussions play a factor? What's with the Wikipedia post about Nancy Benoit being dead? What was your initial reaction to the news? Anybody who calls in, I want to hear your initial reaction. You can call in tonight, 760-888-5749. How did this change the professional wrestling industry? You know, should this case be reopened? What was the legacy of Chris Benoit? We'll talk about all of that tonight right here on the show. But let me introduce some of the panel tonight. I'm going to kick it off with a man with a master plan. Toph, what's going on, my brother? You're live on the air.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. I'm doing good. How are you doing today, Jay?
I'm doing all right. I've been anticipating this show, for a couple weeks now. I've been trying to hype it up. I watched the entire Chris Benoit Raw tribute last night to kind of get ready for it. I'm ready to go, I'm ready to rock and roll. I've been doing a lot of debate on this topic on Twitter and on Facebook. And I'm ready to get the show on the road. We didn't have a show last year, or else we would have done it last year. I'm also going to bring in a very special guest tonight. He is the host of Wrestle Reaction, which you can find at wrestle-reaction.net. I'm pretty sure I got that right. And on Twitter at wrestle_react. He's my buddy, my man, Frank Manzo. What's going on, Frank? Frank, are you with us? Are you on the air? You there, buddy? Okay, maybe Frank's not with us right now, but that's okay. That's fine. We're going to get the show on the road, and we'll talk a little bit about Chris Benoit. And I want to get this from you, Toph. I want to just hear your overall opinion, and I'll get to mine a little bit later, but I want to hear you just kick it off, your thoughts on Chris Benoit and the legacy he's left in the pro wrestling industry.
Oh, first of all, let's start off with the tweet. In just in case you guys didn't know, Chris Jericho tweeted a picture a long time ago of him and Benoit together, just based off the picture. Jericho had long hair, so I'm going to assume it was probably back in their, what was it called? I know they competed in a lot of stuff in Japan and other foreign places, like back in the 90s, like kind of like 94, 95. But he tweeted the picture on Twitter. It's a real picture. It wasn't Photoshopped or a meme or meme, whatever. And the fans are joking, or the IWC is joking. They think that because he made that picture, now he's going to fight Ryback at Money in the Bank on a pay-per-view. But that's neither here nor there. I just want the fans to know that Jericho did tweet a picture. No idea if it's still on his Twitter or if WWE made him take it down. But anyway, back to Benoit. You know, he's still my favorite wrestler, technical wrestler of all time. And a lot of my friends say they have a hard time watching his matches or just seeing his promos in general. And I don't have a problem doing it for me. I can look at his stuff just fine. Doesn't bother me at all. And I don't think he was crazy. I don't think that he was a scumbag or a murderer. I don't think on that day that he woke up and said, you know, today I'm going to kill my family. I'm going to kill the wrestling legacy. I'm going to leave a dark cloud. I don't think it was premeditated or nothing like that. You know, so many things just don't add up. And the point I'm trying to make is I understand that people want to discredit what he did. I understand that people want to discredit his career because of what he did. But at the same time, you can't judge a person on their last act if their life doesn't match what the last act was, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So many people, fans and wrestlers, have said over the years that he was a, you know, very nice, humble person. So the last act that he did does not match his life, you know. That's like if you live a good life, you know, from the day you were born to like 21 years old, and then like when you're 22, you just wake up one day, get a gun and start shooting people. It's not going to make sense, you know. Like, what if what they did in the past kind of built up to it, and it's like, oh, okay, now it makes sense. You know, but, you know, I still respect him as a competitor and the legacy that he's brought. And unrelated, I think that if Eddie Guerrero was still alive, none of that would have ever happened. I think the death of Eddie just really was the straw that broke the camel's back. I wonder about that all the time. I wonder if Eddie never died, would Chris still be here? You know, he wrote to Eddie in his diary pretty much every day. Benoit's father said that, you know, just so many things, you know, we could be said, but, you know, we have a two-hour show, and we'll get to it in time.
Yeah, we're going to talk about pretty much everything, and I can see it from all different perspectives and all different ways, because my initial reaction to the entire thing, I'll never forget where I was, what I was doing. I just had gotten home from the laundromat, and turned on Monday Night Raw, and that was the first I heard of it. And, of course, you know, my initial reaction was I was upset. You know, I'm going to be mad enough to say that I cried when that happened. I also cried at WrestleMania 20 when I was inside Madison Square Garden and I saw Chris Benoit tap out Triple H to win the World Heavyweight Championship. It was such an overwhelming, great moment for me to be there. And I still get chills to this day. I watched the match last night. And I'm on a different wavelength from you when it comes to this. I get a little bit of an eerie feeling when I watch Chris Benoit matches. And the reason I do is because whenever I see him take, like, a brutal bump or do that diving headbutt or take a shot to the head, I just think about the damage he's doing to his body. And that, to me, has a lot to do with what happened. And that is on no one else's fault but Chris Benoit himself. It was his choice to do all that. And now that's fine. You know, all these wrestlers take punishment and abuse, and it affects them all differently. Every single person is different than the next. So why this happened to Chris Benoit, like his brain, the CTE, all the damage he took, the concussions, why this happened to him and hasn't happened to a guy like Mick Foley, who was taking the most hellacious chair shots I've ever seen in my life, that's something that remains to be seen, you know. It's just, it all depends on the person and what they're looked at. But we'll continue talking about Chris Benoit. I'm going to kick it to my co-host is on the line. He's finally called in. TLD in the house, the one of the stars of B4W. We'll be talking B4W next week on the show. Will, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. I'm just a little upset. I got my new George Foreman grill, and the freaking knob on the bottom that holds the lid up is broken. So how do you think I feel?
You're probably pretty pissed. I don't blame you, man. Although that George Foreman grill
is
a lifesaver.
Word. More like disappointed, upsetting. You know, George Foreman failed me. You realize that? George Foreman completely failed me.
Now we can't have kebabs.
All right, bro. Well, we're talking Chris Benoit tonight, and that's just
speaking
we're
of
talking
George,
about all night.
Speaking of that, yeah, keep going.
Well, I just wanted to get your your initial thought on what we're going to be talking about tonight on Chris Benoit. Everybody seems to have a different opinion. Some opinions are absolutely the same, but everybody's got their own perspective on what exactly happened and what his legacy is on professional wrestling. So what are your thoughts on Chris Benoit and the tragedy that happened 6 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, since we're going back story time of where we were when it happened, I was working at my old job as a chef, and I got a text message from the owner of B4W, who's Ryan, and he let me know that, you know, what happened with Chris Benoit, and I was completely shocked by that. I couldn't believe that happened. So when I got home, I was able to watch Raw just in time where it started, where it ended, and yeah, that was just a very very sad day, you know, especially like the videos that they played, the reactions to the wrestlers. It was a very, very sad moment to see that happening. And then as the days, you know, transferred of what was going on, now we see the true thing of what's going on here. And it was just a very sad thing to see that, you know, how could someone who we know is not violent, even though he portrays one as, you know, as a crippler on television, just kill off his entire family in one night. It's just a very weird, you know, story that broke out and that brought wrestling, I would say, back out into the spotlight, not for the good reasons, but it brought it out to where now people had to question, you know, they had to change a lot of things in pro wrestling because of this incident. Now they have completely changed, you know, even though they had their steroid policy, now they really had to kick it in high gear. The chair shots stopped. You know, it changed a lot of things in pro wrestling.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And to this day, it has changed the course of professional wrestling history. And if there's a silver lining you can take from this, you know, it kind of gives the professional wrestlers that outlook that says, hey, we don't want this to happen to us. Because there's no question about it that Chris Benoit, in some way, shape, or form, lost his effing mind on that day. You know, everybody claims that he was, you know, completely entrenched in the business, that the business consumed him, and that he loved it. He loved his son. He loved his wife and all that kind of stuff. Although there was documented problems in their marriage, you know, I've read a couple books on it, and this one author who hates professional wrestling, by the way, and hates WWE, so he kind of had a skewed look at it, but I at least got this vantage point from him. And he was talking about how he interviewed a couple of Nancy Benoit's friends after the fact. And they were very candid in saying that, you know, the love life wasn't good between the two. And Chris suffered from what a lot of steroid users suffer from, and that is a lack of libido and stuff like that. And that caused a lot of fights between the two. So, you know, whether that had something to do with the murder or not, that it's something we'll never, quite frankly, know. And I personally don't think it was premeditated that Chris Benoit, like you said before, Toph, that Chris Benoit woke up one morning and said, hey, I can't be ECW champion. I went to the ECW show. I don't like it. My career has gone down a notch. You know, I don't want to ruffle CM Punk, whatever. He wasn't upset about anything like that. I feel like he got into a fight with his wife, brutalized her. Maybe he killed her on purpose, or maybe he did it accidentally. You know, it's all kinds of speculation, and that's what I'm going to keep it on. But do I think he should be glorified in any way, shape, or form? Should we take the wrestler Chris Benoit, the entertainer who we watched in WWE, WCW all those years, and separate it from the man that committed these murders? Absolutely not. Bottom line is, the guy's a murderer, and that's all there is to it in my mind. But there's a lot of people that have their own opinions on this, and I want to hear from you. So give us a call, 760-888-5749. I'm going to go to the lines right now. We got some callers, and I'm going to kick it to the 516 area code. You've been in hold for a while, 516. You're on the air right now with PWP Radio. What's your name? Where you're from?
Matthew Lowry, Westboro, New York.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. We heard about Chris Benoit. I agree wholeheartedly with the death of with the death of Eddie Guerrero in 2005. I think it did have a bad effect, had effect on Chris somewhat. But I did put since 2007, as I wrote in the PWP article, it was more like it was like there was steroids involved. Was there like brain damage. There were so many possibilities, but it was on the, they cut him out. The WWE cut him out on the footage. They took him out of, they took him off a bit because it was always, it was unforgivable, and it was always understandable because it, after that, after his death, it made me question the sport. After what he did, it really made me question this. And it was really, should we forgive him? Should we ever forgive him for what we did? I think we should forgive him. And I mean, not praise him for what he did, but for throughout his career, he's still regarded as the absolute best. No doubt about it, man.
Well, you're separating the performer from the man himself. They were one and the same, as far as everybody says.
They're both the same. Oh yeah. I apologize. It was one of the, they're both one of the same. Benoit should. I felt it was the truth. I felt that I wanted to air it out, get it out in the open. So I really, every article I wrote about it, I think I wanted to be more honest and more open minded than everybody else.
Well, yeah, I've talked to a lot of people, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, that you know are glorifying Chris Benoit. There was a freaking Chris Benoit on the Chris Benoit guy sign at the pay-per-view last week, and that was completely shocking. And there are a lot of fans that are still very adamant about his inclusion on WWE programming, just like they include the late, great Eddie Guerrero and other professional wrestlers who've passed away. But you got to understand, it's apples and oranges. This is a different scenario. If Chris Benoit had just killed himself and not murdered his wife and murdered his son in cold blood, then maybe... you know, maybe they could still include him. But as far as murders are concerned, there's really, like, if I'm a business, if I'm prowrestlingpowerhouse.com, and if one of my writers, if you, Matt, killed somebody or whatever, I'm not going to keep you on my staff. I'm not going to talk about you. It's just business. It's business and it's public relations. And I don't blame WWE to get as far away from this scenario as possible because it wasn't their fault that Chris Benoit did this. So why should they continue to promote Chris Benoit in any way, shape, or form? And that's a question that, you know, a lot of people have different opinions on, and we'll get to a lot of different opinions tonight. But just hang on and hold. I'll bring it right back in. I'm going to go back to the lines, and we're going to go to our man Frank from Wrestle Reaction. Frank, what's going on, man?
Jay, what's happening, man? I'm very sorry to have messed up your intro before. You guys are doing a beautiful job, and to tell you the truth, it's a good reason. I'm a big fan of the show. You know I am. So I wanted to hear what you guys had to say before I even came on. So very happy to be on. You guys are doing awesome so far.
Well, thanks, man. There was 2 516s up there, and I got kind of confused, and it's not a problem whatsoever. But let's hear your thoughts on Chris Benoit and the legacy he's left.
Well, you know me and my photographic memory. I tell you, it's crazy how things happen because I don't know if this has ever happened to you. You get back on somebody else's entrance theme, like even a while after it's out. I was, me and Joe even, we were like jamming Benoit. And we were so hyped for the pay-per-view. And we're like, oh my God, we're going to get a great match from Punk and Benoit. Could not believe that it didn't go down. Like, when that happened, we knew something was up right then and there. And that never left my mind all through the rest of that show and the rest of the night. P.S., I had to drive to my brother's graduation from high school that night. I'll get the call from Joe as I'm going out there. So now I'm sitting through a whole graduation, and I'm thinking about what the hell just happened. And it was a crazy night. I mean, I tell you the truth. I'm watching WWE programming weekly since 1990. And just nothing like this ever happened. And the flip-flop that happened, it was a tribute show, for God's sake. Vince is, like, almost crying in the ring. And then all of a sudden you have a murder and a tragedy on your hands that everybody is throwing their hands up and running away from. Devin McMichael is coming on CNN and burying people and talking about how Steve Austin beat the crap out of her. And the whole thing just got completely out of hand way too quick. And I agree with whoever said it before. I'm sorry, I don't remember who did. But the person who said it was a fight between him and his wife. Yeah, I mean, listen, we're almost 30 years old, us. We're around that age. We've had relationships. Things go on behind closed doors that nobody else sees. And I think that's what happened. And I'm sure maybe he would have been in a better state of mind if he was a world champion at that time, but that's not how it was. He was still a little bit demoted. I don't feel like he was because the fans were still looking forward to his work, and we always appreciated that. He always got the applause from us, so I don't buy that. There was problems there that had nothing to do with wrestling, and this just ended up a very, very big mess.
Absolutely correct. There's no real other way to paint that picture, and I've read different stories about what had happened that day. I've heard that Nancy's family tried to flip the script on the entire thing because they wanted more of the estate, and they were trying to prove that Daniel was killed first. I've heard stories that maybe Chris, there were theories out there that Chris was going to try to make it look like it was a murder, that somebody tried to enter the house forcefully, that he was able to somehow just be injured from it. That there were a lot of different scenarios out there that have been thrown out, and we're going to talk about some of them, including
the first story that broke in the news was that the whole him and the family had been wiped out, that somebody had broken in and killed them. That's the first thing that we all heard, and that's why they went on with it. That's why they went on with a tribute show on Raw.
Well, that's another thing that is controversial, Frank, is that the timeline of this all, like Michael Benoit, Chris Benoit's father, found out about this sometime in the evening, Eastern time, sometime around like 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And he, and also another guy who knew about it around 5 o'clock Eastern time that day, I'm talking Monday, Dave Meltzer, he knew about it as well. Now, if Dave Meltzer knows about it, if, you know, Michael Benoit knows, if Jerry McDevitt, apparently the WWE's attorney at the time, probably still is. If he knows about it, don't you think Vince McMahon knows about it? You know, don't you think there's some way, shape, or form that Vince McMahon knew there was a murder and they were calling it a double murder suicide at that time? It's kind of tough. It paints WWE into a corner in the light of whether or not they went through with this tribute show knowing it was a double murder suicide. And the reaction from a guy like William Regal on that show, which I watched last night, was very strange. He held back everything. He didn't say much. He kind of just walked off the set after his little speech was over. And Chavo Guerrero's, his little monologue was really heart-wrenching because he's the guy that Chris Benoit was in contact with throughout that entire weekend. So
that's
the stuff we'll talk about. Let's take a full circle. I'm going to go back to Toph. I'm going to bring you in, Toph, and we're going to talk about a different question on this whole Chris Benoit thing. Now, you already stated your stance on it in general, but a lot of people are thinking there is some kind of conspiracy theory behind this, and the most popular one seems to be the Kevin Sullivan theory, that somehow, some way, Kevin Sullivan was responsible for this. And there's a lot of people out there that believe this, man. I'm not talking about just one idiot that posted, I'm not going to say idiot, one guy that posted on a forum about this and one guy who made a YouTube video about this. A lot of people are on board that Kevin Sullivan, the Satanist, apparently he's a real Satan lover in real life, not just on TV, that he had something to do with this. Toph, what are your thoughts on this Kevin Sullivan theory?
I mean, who knows? We live in a strange world. He is a Satanist. I can't confirm that. I know that much. It's strange. I mean, I know the story about Sullivan. I know he booked Benoit and Nancy to be, you know, an on-screen couple, but what was, you know, fake became real. And I remember their intense matches in WCW. Even those were some of the first matches I saw. That was kind of around the time when I really started to become a big wrestling fan around like 95, 96. And I always remember that crazy brawl Kevin Sullivan and Benoit had, the Great American Bash. I think that was it. I'm not sure. It may have been that pay-per-view. So, I mean, it's definitely plausible. And I don't really have much to say. I mean, anything can happen. But to kind of go back to what, you know, Frank and what you were talking about, I didn't really explain my initial reaction. I kind of fell out of WWE shortly after I finished high school. The death of Eddie Guerrero was a little too much for me, and I just kind of lost my interest. And pretty much from, like, after Eddie's death to about 2008-09-ish, I just stopped watching WWE. When I found out Benoit died, it was very early in the morning. I was taking a math class. It was probably one of the most difficult classes of my life. You know how it is when you go to school early in the morning and, you know, you get there about 30 minutes before class starts. You go on the computer and you just start browsing. And I just kind of came across the article about what happened to Noah and his family. Just very confused. I was just trying to find more information, but the story had just leaked, and I didn't really know what to think of it, and I had to go back to class, and I had to take a test, and my mind just was not there at all. I was like the hardest test I've ever taken, you know. It's like something happens to you personally, and you're just in a classroom, and you're just like, I don't want to be here, and, you know, it's just very difficult and very hard. You know, I've seen so much footage, so many interviews, like you already touched to Jay about William Regal. You know, when he did his testimonial about Benoit, it was very short. You know, Regal just said all he was willing to say was Benoit was the best ever, and that was all he was going to say at that time. You could tell in the look on Regal's face that he knew more, but he wasn't willing to say. I've seen many other interviews. Kurt Angle also did an interview once with RF Video where he said that Benoit called him at one point and said that he was about to snap. You know, he was very, very upset because it was Father's Day weekend was coming, because it was around Father's Day weekend, close after. And Benoit was upset that he could not spend time with his family, and he called Kurt Angle, and he told Angle that he was going to snap, and Angle told Benoit to take time off. But as you said earlier, Jay, Benoit was just so dedicated to the business. He was a perfectionist. You know, he didn't want to, you know, he wasn't the kind of guy that just wanted to kind of ease out of his contract, you know. He was the kind of guy that wanted to do all his house show dates. He wanted to do Raw and SmackDown. I mean, you guys remember how Benoit was. You know, he didn't have an ego. He didn't mind putting guys over. But at the same time, it was giving him family problems. Chris Jericho said after Eddie Guerrero's death, Benoit became reclusive. Booker T, MVP, Charmel all gave similar accounts. I really feel for Chavo Guerrero because Chavo was the closest to Eddie and Benoit before their deaths, and he couldn't do anything to stop either. So, you know, Ted DiBiase, Bret Hart, they both have come on record and say that there's no way that they can be convinced that Chris Benoit that they knew did that. So, I mean, I've even read one story that Benoit would take plane trips just to go back to Atlanta just to see his family for like 2 hours and take another plane trip back to wherever he was going to be performing that night. So, and then there's the testimonial of Stephanie McMahon. Everyone forgets about what Stephanie said. I mean, she was crying, and Stephanie said that when she was pregnant with her first child, Benoit was so happy for her, you know, like genuinely happy and stuff like that. So he was definitely a good person. And CM Punk, that's one big thing people keep never mention or talk about. Chris Benoit had actually contacted CM Punk. You can find this on interview. CM Punk, he says this. He said this plenty of times. You can see it on YouTube. CM Punk, if you guys remember, he had a match with that Marcus Corvin dude, and they had a match, and Marcus kind of dropped Punk really hard on his neck. And he didn't have, like, a bad neck injury, but it was kind of sore. And if you guys remember, Benoit and Punk were supposed to have a match, I think, at Night of Champions. And Benoit had actually contacted Punk to see how he was doing. He contacted him and gave him advice on what to do because Benoit, he knew about neck injuries because he had one himself. And he also counseled Edge about his neck injuries. Benoit contacted Punk during the weekend that all that crap happened. Does that sound like someone of a murderer? How could he do that? How could he contact Punk to check on his well-being and then proceed to kill his wife and his son? I mean, it doesn't make sense. There's clearly something more to the story. I mean, Punk himself has said this. He even said it last year at the convention thing that happens during the summer, because there's a video on YouTube where someone asked him about Benoit, and Punk even – he basically said that, you know, they can't mention him for the reasons that you already explained, Jay. But, I mean, that's like the biggest plot hole in this entire case, the fact that he text messaged Punk several times to check on his well-being because Benoit was a perfectionist and he wanted to make sure that his opponent was ready to go for that match. How could he do that yet still commit those murders? That, to me, that's the biggest plot hole. But, you know, we'll never know what happened, you know. Some things we're just not supposed to know.
What do you think? Do you think he committed the murders? Do you think Kevin Sullivan, did he commit the murders? Like, do you think that Chris Benoit did this?
I think that maybe he may have killed his wife. I can see that. But I just do not believe he killed his son. I think that there is another part of this case that we don't know about, that the government or the police or whoever, I think there is something else about this case that was never leaked. It doesn't add up to me. As someone that's met Benoit in person several times when I was a kid, as someone that's met other wrestlers, and I've just looked at all the testimonials, it just doesn't add up. I think there's something else about this case that we'll never know what happened. But I do believe he may have killed his wife.
Yeah, that's something that we'll talk about. Is the investigation was really kind of shoddy at best, as I'm quoting Phil Mitchell in our chat room right now. If you want to get in the chat room, go for it. There's some discussion going on. But he said the investigation was shoddy, and it was. Like, downright just amateur-type stuff from the Fayetteville Police Department. They kind of just said it was a double murder-suicide and closed the book on it right away without, you know, keeping the case open, investigating it a little farther. They just came to that conclusion, and they could be right. They could be right on the money. But the timelines got really twisted up at some point in time in this whole thing. Even WWE, their story changed multiple times on this. But I'm going to kick it to Will now. And what are your thoughts on any kind of conspiracy, whether it's Kevin Sullivan or not, involving this? Or do you simply think that Chris Benoit just snapped one day and decided to kill his wife and kid?
You know, I'm a big advocate on watching, like, you know, crime shows and, like, real crimes happen and things like that. I'm a big advocate of it. You know, especially when it comes to evidence and things like that. You know, a lot of times people have these psychological issues, and again, you don't know about it. Murderers and, you know, psychopaths and all that have different, you know, ways of thinking, and a lot of times it will be normal to the normal person. I mean, you look at the big killer. What is it? A JD killer? I forget you know, you know what I'm talking about? That killer. You know, it seemed like a normal guy who did scouts and did camping trips and was a priest and found it, the JV killer ended up killing so many people. Or so I forget the killer's name. But that's a perfect example right there of a guy who looks normal, who acts normal, you know, and then one day just got caught, you know, but he looked normal to everyone else. And this is the kind of the case where I think it's the same deal. There's a psychological issue that he had. And whether it was his wife that set it off or, you know, and the Bible, and the Bibles that were next to him, which I remember they talked about in the case, too, was a pretty pretty prevalent thing, I think, that he had sympathy for what his crimes were. I don't think a random person would have went into that home and put Bibles next to their, you know, because it's such an odd thing that someone would do that unless they were trying to get some kind of sympathy for their crime. So that's why I don't find any conspiracy. Although I do see, like, the videos that I've seen with Kevin Sullivan, which looks so stupid and so ridiculous. You know, I just don't believe there was any kind of conspiracy as far as someone else involved. I think Benoit just acted alone. He did something that, you know, is unforgivable. And what do you get? You know, you can think of all the conspiracy theories as you can think of, but there's evidence in the case that he did it. You know, there's only three people in the house that know what happened. So everything's going to be, you know, a guess. Only three people know what happened, and all those three people are dead. So all you can go with is what evidence is left in the home, and you have to go with what you go with. And there was no probable cause of someone else entering that home other than Benoit. And, you know, based on the state of mind and based on what we find out later, damage and all that, yeah, sure. That why not? It definitely could have had. He could have some kind of psychological effect that caused him to kill these people.
Yeah, I personally think that's what it was. I mean, I feel bad for Kevin Sullivan because he was probably in Florida.
You know,
it's not.
And
he
that's
was
not fair to him either. You know that
he was
is
probably
this, you know, he's a probably a very innocent person who, yeah, because they were had a storyline involvement. Okay, well, they gotta assume, well, he's pissed and he decided on that specific day he wanted to. If he wanted to do that, he could have done that years prior. You know why he picked that time in Benoit's life, which was just a weird time. You know, I don't truly believe. That's why I don't truly believe that.
Yeah, I don't
this
believe
is sort
either.
Of unrelated, but there was another guy by the name of Mike Graham. He was one of the bookers at WCW, and apparently him and Benoit had heat. You can see a lot of that stuff on YouTube and whatever. And he threatened to beat up Benoit or something like that. And he was not a fan of Benoit, Guerrero, Malenko, or any of the quote unquote vanilla midgets and stuff. And apparently he was one of the main reasons Benoit jumped ship to WWF along with you know, Malenko, Guerrero, and apparently Shane Douglas was supposed to jump ship with him, but you know, things kind of fell apart. The weird thing, though, is about him is I found this out recently is that apparently he himself also committed suicide last year. What's creepy about it is I think his father did the same thing, just very creepy, a lot of disturbing stuff in this.
Yeah, and there's another story about how, you know, Sherry Martel was kind of tied in with them as well with the whole thing with Kevin Sullivan, with Chris Benoit and Nancy, and she died like a week before. So there's a lot of weird stuff, but I personally believe that Kevin Sullivan is probably chilling in Florida at his gym that he owned, and he's completely innocent, had nothing to do with this at all, and that's my take on it. But I'm going to go to the lines real quick before I go back to Frank, but I'm going to go to the lines right now. 416 area code, thanks for holding. You're on the line right now with PWP Radio. What's your name? Where are you from?
Yeah, this is Theo from Toronto. How you doing, guys?
Hey, how are you, man? What's going on?
Not too bad. I just hear you guys talking. I kind of tuned in about a half an hour in, so I wasn't sure what you guys were talking about before. Just quickly to kind of bring a little bit more perspective to this topic, because you guys were talking about a lot of the injuries Benoit sustained for his love for the business and that kind of thing. One of them was repeated concussions. Now, the reason I mention this is there's a show up here called The Fifth Estate. It's like the Canadian version of Dateline, and they kind of did their own piece on Benoit and what happened. And near the end of it, there was a part about the fact that people who sustain continual concussions, it has a cumulative effect on the brain. And there is a theory that basically Benoit was suffering from some sort of dementia brought on by this. That's been one of the theories to the case, because, again, you guys were mentioning that he, you know, at one minute he's acting all normal, like a man who would never contemplate killing his wife and son, and then there'd be times he just would show this side of him liable to snap. So I don't know if anybody's touched upon that at all. And I'm thinking that that's maybe one of the main reasons that why it happened the way it happened. You know, I'm not at all excusing what he did and everything, but I don't believe it's fair to tarnish or erase him from the history of a business he brought a lot to and, you know, just had a passion for. Actually, there was an interesting part of it is that Chris Nowinski, I don't know if you guys remember him. He was in the WWE about 10 years ago. He was like the second runner. He was like the runner-up in Tough Enough. He actually quit the business because he suffered a career-ending concussion. And
Absolutely.
He's been doing kind of research on his own as to what effects on sports stars concussions have. And he's found some data in terms of, you know, just the deterioration of the brain because of these concussions and people doing these very type things, not necessarily murdering, but suicide or having these kinds of psychological issues. And he actually requested, and I don't know whatever came of this, he actually requested Benoit's family, or I guess next of kin, for actually Benoit's brain to study. So anyway, you know, not rambling on about it. It's just I'm thinking that there is just some sort of deep psychological problems that were going on in him, and it could be brought about because of the concussions and the years of injuries. And you know, bottom line, what he did was reprehensible, but I don't think it's any justification to completely erase him from the legacy of wrestling. So you know, it's really just a something you don't gloss over, but at the same time, it's not something that you use. It's a really mixed bag. We're kind of tripping on a minefield here. It's a really controversial subject. So, but you know, my theory is remember the man for what he brought to the ring, and I'm just hoping one day that it's proven that you know, that it was brought about by just years of concussions, and that actually it opens up the door as to trying to ensure the well-being of these guys who are risking everything, like, you know, their bodies to give us something that we love. So anyway,
that's
all I wanted to say. So,
all right, thanks. That's the silver lining right there I talked about before, though, man. It's like the silver lining is now the WWE and other wrestling organizations out there, they realize that these headshots are pointless and stupid and that it doesn't need to happen. And that's a direct – line from Chris Benoit and what happened with him. His brain was definitely a mishmash, and a lot of these wrestlers' brains are like that. They're completely screwed. You go back and you look at Junior Seau, famous pro football linebacker who committed suicide last year. Now, he decided just to kill himself, and they did figure out that he suffered from the same type of problems that Chris Benoit suffered from as well. They're not sure of the extent because you can't. The guy's not alive anymore to ask him what exactly his mental issues are. You can't interview him or anything like that. But their brains were very similar. And yes, Chris Benoit's brain is with Chris Nowinski at the Sports Legacy Institute and other wrestlers. Like Mick Foley's one of the guys who is also going to donate his brain to Chris Nowinski to get analyzed after he passes away. So thanks for bringing your thoughts to the show, man. It was really, really good hearing from you.
Oh, it's no problem, guys.
Thanks for calling. I'm going to go to a quick other caller I got on hold right now. We're going to bring in the 85, good old 856 area code, 856. Thanks for holding. You're on the air live with PWP Radio. What's your name, where you're from?
Hey, guys. What's going on? You miss me?
What's going on, man?
It's Will F. and Brooks. It's Will F. and Brooks. Come on,
oh,
man.
I knew it.
Come on.
I thought it was
You know what? I didn't think you'd actually call in, Will.
No.
Well, I told you I would because me and you were discussing this last week. I felt like, you know what? I owe it to him. I should really call in and say hi.
No.
I really appreciate that, man.
No.
How are you guys all doing?
We're good, man. We're good. We're just talking, shooting the shit.
We were good.
On Chris Benoit. And let's hear your thoughts. Let's hear your thoughts on Benoit.
Well, a couple of things the way you guys just talked. I wasn't listening to the first half of your show. I was doing some work, and I actually have to go to work right after I'm done talking. But you were saying a minute ago, how headshots and how they're gone now. And it's crazy when you watch back to some of the classic, like, you know, Attitude Era matches and how headshots even were just around, even just regular matches, didn't even have to be hardcore matches. And you watch them now, you're just like, ooh, like this, they just like make you cringe instead of making you like, oh, cool, you know? Because we've been so conditioned otherwise now by not having any headshots for the past, what, 6-7 years now. And it's just crazy to think about, like, all these guys and why we don't know more about this. And you think, like you said about professional football players, guys like Junior Seau, they don't like to talk about it. Why? Because it makes the sport that they gave their entire life to makes them look bad, and they don't want to do that. And they don't want to look weak either. They have spent their whole life not trying to, show any weakness at all. And now to show them in the later years, like, oh man, I can't remember anything. I can't do this. They're not going to do that. So until guys swallow their pride a little bit more, we're never going to truly dive right into this as much as we should. But as far as anybody who ever thought that any conspiracy with Kevin Sullivan or anything like that really needs to, like, stop watching Unsolved Mysteries or something, because seriously, to me it makes no sense, and here's why. You got the revenge factor, yes, but the problem with that is to have, like, a conspiracy, there has to be something gained, like, by someone's death. Like, every conspiracy theory that ever has to do with someone's alleged suicide, there had to be, like, some kind of gain from it. Like, when Marilyn Monroe committed suicide, people think the CIA killed her. The reason being was, if the conspiracy is that she was going to expose the fact that she was sleeping with the Kennedy brothers, or when, anything of that nature, like with Kurt Cobain, was committed suicide. The theory is that he died because he was going to retire, and if he retires, he's not going to bring in the millions of dollars anymore. But if you make him a martyr, he still will make money upon money upon money. With Chris Benoit dying, there's no benefit. Nobody gains from it. So that's why, even like if you want to make a conspiracy theory out of it, you just can't, because there's no positive end to this. Nobody gains from it. Everybody loses. The WWE especially, because it was employed by the company, and they had to revamp everything after the fact. They got exposed with all the steroids the guys were using at the time. They got exposed with how little they cared about the guy's mental well-being at the time. So really, no one gained from it. So conspiracy theory, I'm sorry, had to be thrown out.
Yeah, I don't think there was conspiracy theory at all with this. I think it's pretty clear cut what happened, and I understand why people do that, because they're just clinching on to their work rate hero, Chris Benoit, because he was such a good professional wrestler. Let me tell you what, if Bastion Booger committed the same type of tragedy, if he did this, nobody would give a shit, in all honesty.
Well,
nobody would even be talking about it today.
You know what the crazy comparison you can make is? Joe Paterno. And I loved Joe Paterno. I grew up on Joe Paterno. I loved him. He was the patron saint of Pennsylvania for the most part. But he was a part of the cover-up of Sandusky and all that child abuse stuff. He was part of the cover-up. So as much as I used to love Joe Paterno, I understood why they had to, like, take away some of his victories. I understand why they took down the statue. I didn't like it, but I understood where they were coming from. And as much as I love Joe Paterno, I couldn't make an argument against it. You know, everybody wants to worship Joe Paterno, and I understand that, but he was part of the cover-up. There's no denying this. There's proof of this. There's evidence. It's in the emails. And it sucks, but it is what it is.
And we talked about this the other day, Will. Where do you draw the line? I mean, Jimmy Snuka is a guy who is tied to the murder or death thereof of his on-the-road girlfriend back in the early 80s. A lot of people don't know this story. You can find the full story anywhere on the internet. But Jimmy Snuka's girlfriend died in his hotel room at some point while Snuka was on the road with WWF. He was at a show, left her in the hotel room. Apparently, from Snuka's recount, she was suffering from some kind of headache or something. She wasn't feeling too good. She decided to take a nap. Snuka gets back to his room, and she's dead. That case was closed. Jimmy Snuka was not found guilty of anything whatsoever. Vince McMahon did offer the family of this woman who passed away some kind of money to keep their mouth shut on what was happening. That is coming from her family. But Jimmy Snuka is a WWE Hall of Famer, and he wasn't found guilty, but he very well could have killed this woman, and he could have done it for some of the same reasons Chris Benoit did what he did. That's very possible that maybe... I don't buy into the whole steroid thing, but maybe, you know, that played a factor in this situation. As far as Chris Benoit, I don't buy it, but maybe Jimmy Snuka, maybe that played a factor. If he was jacked to the gills, he was definitely on steroids.
And what about Stone Cold, man? The guy was found guilty of beating his wife. And I love Stone Cold Steve Austin, but there's no denying he beat his wife. And for that reason alone, every time someone says, oh, I want Stone Cold to come back, I'm like, I don't know, man. I have a hard time cheering for a guy who was found guilty of wife beating.
You know what, man? That possibly could have ended up the same way. You just don't know. Mm-hmm. And if for some way, somehow, Chris Benoit didn't end up killing, you know, Nancy and Daniel, would he have still committed suicide? These are questions we'll just never know. And it just kind of makes you wish that he would have left some kind of note to kind of tell us what the hell he was thinking when this all happened.
Thinking at all, man.
But he did. He did leave a note. He wrote to Eddie in his diary.
He was doing that for months, though. He was doing that for months. That wasn't a suicide note. That wasn't like, hey, I have committed suicide because I have killed Nancy because I have whatever. It wasn't anything like that whatsoever. He was just writing a journal. Like
I think that was a cry for help on his part, and he didn't know where to go to because the best friend was dead. I still believe that Guerrero was the key element. I still believe that if he was alive, then Wild would be alive, but we can't do anything about that now.
It's tough to say, but when I look at this scenario from my perspective, I'm open to it. My personal opinion is I don't give a damn about Chris Benoit. I think he committed these murders, and it's unforgivable in my mind. I'm not going to forgive him for it, but I am open-minded to everybody's thoughts on it, on this controversial subject. I want to bring back in Frank. And, Frank, man, I know you're listening and everything, and I want to hear your thoughts on whether or not concussions, steroids, any kind of roid rage played a role in what Chris Benoit did.
You know, it would be hard for me to say that. I mean, like I said, we're throwing around a lot of possibilities here, and I think everything that we're talking about has had a little background and it's well-founded. But like someone said before, it's only the three of them there. We're not really going to know. I think, yes, steroids, roid rage, things like that, that's obviously documented. That could have been a part. If he had any kind of brain damage whatsoever, that absolutely could make you do things that you wouldn't normally do. Swelling on the brain makes people hallucinate. All kinds of crazy things can go on. And, you know, I'm going to throw this in there, too. A lot of people want to lean on that. And honestly, always in my opinion, I never ruled out the fact that the guy just... He didn't have anything mentally wrong with him as far as a clinical diagnosis. And he just snapped and wanted to go out and take the two closest people with him that he was having these intimate problems with him. And I think that's a possibility. I mean, I don't want to sound like anybody who knows more than anyone else here, but I have sat with people who have taken people out. And there's no difference than the people that me and you were talking to right now on the phone. They did it for reasons that they felt it was necessary evil. But this is a different story. This is a family incident. This is something that is so close to just the home and their everyday life. And obviously there was the problems that he had with the boy. There was problems with his hormone or whatever it was, and he was giving him injections. This all played a role. Chris Benoit was, I think he was just not happy with where it was, and because he was, sometimes when you are maybe as compassionate as everybody had described him as, and he sees his son like this, I mean, maybe there was swelling on the brain at that point, and then you say, well, this is terrible, let's just end this all, and he just goes nuts and he does it. And nobody will ever know what happened. But it could be one of all those scenarios. I don't know anything of what you guys are talking about this Kevin Sullivan conspiracy stuff. Before I even look at it, I'm going to say that I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think this is it's some orientation of what we've heard before. There's a lot of things that we're just never going to know about this. And should it have been investigated more? Yes. And I just want to say, as far as the people who go on Twitter and on Facebook and just glorify this whole thing and try to ride off of it, it pisses me off. It really does. Like, that is the type of wrestling fan that I just want to kick in the face, because they make us all look like a bunch of a-holes, and that's just the way it is. And he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. He shouldn't have an action figure. He shouldn't have a t-shirt. He shouldn't be on the cover or the back art of any DVD. He shouldn't be mentioned on live air in any accolades by Michael Cole or anybody cutting any kind of promo. But if you're going to put out anthology sets and DVDs of pay-per-view shows and stuff like that, then you throw him in because you're producing a whole show. And that's for us to decide if we want to watch or not. And I got news for you. Some of my favorite matches to put on are still Chris Benoit matches. People ask me what I think is some of the best wrestling matches I've ever seen in my life. Benoit versus Kurt Angle at the Royal Rumble for the WWE Championship. I mean, that was incredible, that match, literally. And you never see another match like it, almost. And I could pop it in, and I can appreciate it for what it is, for the wrestling segment, for the match that it is, and not think about what happened with that tragedy. But absolutely not would I ever want to see him in a Hall of Fame. And I think anybody who would even say that just deserves to just be alienated by the wrestling world and called an asshole.
Well, let me tell you something. I remember last year was the 5-year anniversary of this, and I was on Twitter, and there was a ton of people. There were upwards of 500 people with this hashtag, Chris Benoit for WWE Hall of Fame. And this was going on during Monday Night Raw. It was crazy. I was astounded by the amount of people that really, truly believed he deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame after this. And let me tell you what, you're absolutely right, Frank. We are, as fans, we're lucky that he is acknowledged in the title history. If you go to WWE.com right now and look at their Intercontinental title history, World Heavyweight title history, whatever it is, Chris Benoit's name shows up exactly where it should be. Is there a link to an article about his reign? No, and there shouldn't be, because that's glorification, and that is basically just promoting this guy as a great WWE superstar. Another thing, he is in both installments of the WWE Encyclopedia, and I agree with that. I think that's fine, because that is for educational purposes. Are there any mentions of the double murder-suicide? Absolutely not, and that's the way it should be. You know, people can go and they can read that, and they can read about his career, and that's fine and good. That's because it's for educational purposes only. But for WWE to talk about this murder at all in any way, shape, or form, it's awful public relations. It's horrible, and his name should never be mentioned on WWE TV ever again. And it's only been 6 years. The grand scheme of things, that's not a long time, and people will be talking about this 20 years from now. All right.
Yeah, no, I...
Go ahead, Frank.
No, I absolutely agree. I think that's where you draw the line. I think the encyclopedia was a good include. I think when you have him in the championship reigns, that's good. I mean, listen, I wouldn't on live TV put him in any of the Royal Rumble promo packages or have anybody reference him, but you always have to, in the bare knowledge of it, at its root, where you go to see the basis of results and matches and things like that, and DVDs, like I said, of pay-per-view productions. He's got to be included. If you don't include it in that, you're literally wiping people out of WWE history. And let's face it here, this is not, you know, a low carder or a mid carder that nobody cared about, and you could just scratch him out of history. Like, if Papa Shango did this, they could just wipe him out, and it wouldn't matter. But this is Benoit. This is WrestleMania moment here. Madison Square Garden, Mania 20, end of the show. You know, crowd standing ovation. This is big stuff. This is not someone that you sweep under the carpet so easily.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, WWE, I believe, handled it as well as they possibly could. Even with the tribute show that is controversial, a lot of people think Vince McMahon knew what had happened exactly to the T and was just trying to still save face and pop a ring or whatever
that night. What I think about that is I think that they found out halfway through the show. I haven't seen the tribute show in some time, but I did watch it 2 years ago, and it's obviously, you know, awkward and uncomfortable to watch. But to anyone that, you know, feels like watching the Benoit show, if you notice, like, the first hour or so, they talk about Benoit and his family, right? And I'll never forget towards the end, you know, when it was JR and Jerry the King Lawler, they kind of stopped talking about Benoit, and they just started to focus more on the family. They kept saying, you know, leave your prayers for Nancy, leave your prayers for Daniel. They kept talking about the wife and the kid, but not Benoit as much. I think that they may have found out halfway through the show, and at that point it was too late to pull the plug. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, you know, there a lot of people have confirmed that Dave Meltzer knew about this, that it was a double murder-suicide, that it was ruled a double murder-suicide at around 5, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, all right? So that's confirmed, although he didn't publish it right away. He didn't publish the news story right away. He knew about it, and he's admitted to knowing about it. Now, if Meltzer knows about it, how does Vince McMahon not know about it? That, to me, boggles my mind a little bit, and I personally would like to give Vince McMahon and the WWE the benefit of the doubt about this, because the way they handled it the next night on ECW and stuff, they handled it the right way. But it's still kind of odd to me that they would air this tribute show. I mean, they've done it in the past when other wrestlers have passed away. And what do you do? I mean, what do you do in the scenario if Chris Benoit, if they know about this, right, at 5 p.m., 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's out there, what do you do in Raw's time slot? You've already canceled the show. What do? You play last week's episode? You play a best of? Or do you just do a Chris Benoit tribute? It just seemed like Vince McMahon's hands were tied at the point, and he decided, you know what, let's save face. But obviously we don't know that for a fact. We don't know what's going on in general. But I'm going to bring Will back in, TLD. We have a review for a little bit. And I want to know, you know, Chris Benoit, as we've all mentioned, had a great in-ring career and everything. But what is Chris Benoit's legacy and the way the professional wrestling business has changed from it? You know, his legacy in general and how the incident has changed professional wrestling.
I think his legacy is just he was a very great technical wrestler, had great wrestling ability in the ring. You know, he was one of those young guys who, you know, followed the steps of Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels and was able to overcome the odds and, you know, was, you know, a guy that people will go to for advice. You know, he had a lot of respect from the fans, and that was where I think that the fans are so upset is that, you know, if it's like Mark Henry doing it, it could be a different story, but, like, or someone that people just didn't like. But if it's someone like Chris Benoit, who I think a lot of people respected and, you know, really enjoyed his craft, but yeah, they're going to take some offense to the fact that, hey, we're not going to show his legacy anymore. You know, they take offense to that because they grew up with him and they enjoyed his work. And that's what makes it very hard, this whole thing about that. You know, but as far as, you know, what the did with the business, you know, I remember listening to the Larry King Live report. That's something I watch at least, I would say, twice a year. I don't know if you remember what I'm talking about, Jay. You remember what I'm talking about? The one that John
King Live? The one where Chris Jericho was on it?
Yeah, Jericho, Bret Hart, like a lot of people were on. That, to me, was one of my favorite reports that they did, was that one, just because a lot of great detail came out of it, but good discussion came out of it. I thought that was one of the best discussions about the whole thing, you know, after everything that happened. And, you know, the legacy of Benoit, you know, changed wrestling by having less chair shots, more concern about concussions. But I didn't think it was just wrestling. We started seeing that in all sports now. Now we started seeing it in football and basketball. And, you know, we started seeing it in other sports, more importantly, football. We started seeing that now because of what happened with Benoit and what we're seeing some football players do to themselves or do to others. You know, it changed a lot of things about how sports have to look at, you know, when people are getting nailed in the head, or people are taking very severe beatings to the head, you know, how can they, you know, prevent that? And, you know, like in a case like Dolph Ziggler, who's a perfect, you know, example of this problem right now, and Fandango, who's out of action right now, they're out of action. You know, 10 years ago, that wouldn't have been the case. They'd be wrestling right now just like they were like the day after. But now, because of everything that's happened with Benoit, they cannot let something like that happen again. And they're doing all – because the moment it happens again, let's say a double murder-suicide happens tomorrow, and a WWE wrestler does that, right away they're going to say, well, Vince McMahon's not changing anything about his sport. He's still causing the problem. And that just looks bad for wrestling because it just keeps happening. You know, but you still have all these other federations that do – some really bad, hardcore stuff to each other that's just insane, you know, that I would never do as a pro wrestler ever is take, you know, I would never cut myself up and, you know, take chair shots like that into the head. It's just insane what they go through. I'm surprised that a lot of the ECW guys haven't, you know, fallen back and done some weird, stupid stuff like that, you know. So that's my take on it.
Well, yeah, it's like you mentioned sports in general. The NFL is another sport that is really big on the concussion thing right now because of what happens to their athletes. And I think that this Chris Benoit tragedy had an effect on not only WWE, not only the entire wrestling industry, but the sports industry too, because when there's concussion in the NFL, when they show any kind of concussion, there is just major, major repercussions that happen from it. It is just players sit out until they completely pass their concussion test. And it's something that never happened in the NFL years ago, and wrestling obviously never happened. I mean, I was just listening to Chris Nowinski recently talk about this, and how he was discussing with Chris Benoit, you know, about his concussions. And Benoit said, you know, I don't know how many concussions I've suffered in my life. I couldn't even keep count. Because it was just amazing the amount of trauma he took to his head. Just unbelievable, but you have to remember. You have to remember this, folks. Chris Benoit got paid for every single headbutt. He made a big amount of money for every single chair shot. He did it all because he loved the professional wrestling business, and it was his choice. He was compensated for it. It was completely his choice, and in my mind, these murders were his choice as well. I'm going to kick it back to Toph real quick, and I want to know, man, what is Chris Benoit's legacy, and how did this entire thing change the professional wrestling business?
Well, the vanilla midget stereotype, the small guys. Guys like Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart had already helped open the door a little bit, but guys like himself and Guerrero and Malenko, guys that started from nothing, guys that worked their way up through the independent scene, you know, because Benoit was everywhere. He started off in Canadian Stampede Wrestling, went over to Japan, was in New Japan Pro Wrestling, did a lot of indie stuff, was in ECW, WCW, and then finally WWE. He helped pave the way for guys like that. Your CM Punks, your Daniel Bryans, your Christopher Daniels, your Austin Aries, guys like that. Without guys like Benoit and Guerrero, we don't know if we would have a CM Punk or a Daniel Bryan or Austin Aries or an AJ Styles, guys like that today. That's some of his legacies. And outside of that, obviously his legacy is going to be about the brain damage, and because of what happened, things are going to work differently, particularly with the chair shots to the head and damages to the head in general and stuff like that. That's the main legacy.
Absolutely. I'm going to go to the phone lines real quick. And my good buddy from Houston, like, Texas, to Big H. Ronnie, you're on the line, man. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's up?
What's up, man? What do you got to say about Benoit tonight, bro?
Oh, first off, there's the F Chris Benoit. Let me get out the way. my thing is this. You know, I mean, what happened 6 years ago? It was one of those things like if I told you that a wrestler would do something like that, you'd be like, man, get out. Anybody, it don't even gotta be a football player, how he play, any type of sport, you know. It was just something out of a Stephen King novel or something, you know. And you know, his legacy, I mean, it's one of those, he was great, but he did this, and, you know, where can you rank him, you know, because he did so much, and his stuff he did affected the brand of wrestling and what we see now, everything from the PG era and the chair shots, no, not a chair shot, no blood, everything that he does, you know, all that probably comes from what he's done and them trying to change the way they're doing stuff now. And, you know, the fans suffered from it a little bit from the product being a little more tamer, but at least some good came out of what he did. But, you know, I really can't, like, praise his wrestling the way he did in the ring, because everything he did, even the murder, all that coincided with his job. Everything wasn't separate. The murder and everything affected wrestling. So you really can't separate the two. And it was yesterday. A lot of stuff was going on. I ain't like all the conspiracy stuff for Chris Benoit. I ain't like JFK or Malcolm X or nothing, you know. So it's a weird situation. And sometimes I want to praise him, but then it's like, you know, he almost effed it up for everybody, you know? We're real close to watching all of race right now in USA. It wasn't for Chris Benoit.
No, yeah, you know what? You're right about that. You know, Chris Benoit did pave a legacy in wrestling as far as just the wrestling business is concerned. A lot of those wrestlers like Daniel Bryan and guys like that, you know, smaller, more agile wrestlers, they watched a lot of Bret Hart, Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko, like you mentioned, Toph. You know, they watched these guys growing up through the ranks, and they modeled a lot of their style after these professional wrestlers. And it makes me wonder if that silver lining I keep talking about will help the professional wrestling business in the long run. These guys are now going to be healthier. They're not going to be out there. When you suffer a concussion, right, and you let that thing heal properly, and you're not taking continuous shots to the head. Like, we often forget about Bret Hart's concussion that he suffered against Goldberg and what happened right after that concussion took place. He was out of commission, ended his entire wrestling career, completely ended his career. And what happened after that, shortly thereafter, Bret Hart fell off his bike, landed on his head, and suffered a stroke, rendering half of his body completely useless. So thanks for calling in, Ronnie. And that just shows you that. And Bret Hart, that guy probably suffered fucking hundreds of concussions throughout his career. Unquestionably hundreds of concussions. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to go to John, man. John, you finally decided to call in, bro. What's going on?
Yeah, nothing much. Yeah, I was doing some work at my in-laws, so I get home, so jumping on.
All right, man. Let's dive right into this. We've been having a great discussion. I've got Toph on the line. I've got Will. I've got my good friend Frank from @WrestleReact.net, Wrestle Reaction Show. Frank's on with us. Mm-hmm. And we've all been talking about Chris Benoit all night long, and we all have kind of different theories and different observations about this entire thing. But I want to know what your thoughts on this Chris Benoit tragedy.
Okay. I don't buy into any of the conspiracy theories. You know, it is what it is. He did what he did. As far as his place in history goes, I liken him to O.J. Simpson in the fact that you can't deny what he did as an athlete, you know, what his career was, this and that, but you never see an O.J. Simpson special on the NFL Network. You never see a feature on him, you know, during, you know, let's say, you know, the 12 hours of pregame to the Super Bowl. So that's where, and I'm okay with that. You know, they still air him when they have to on the Monday Night war stuff on Classics on Demand. I don't agree with deleting his matches off the pay-per-views because it's not so much about him, but you're taking away from the body of work that whoever he worked with in that match, you're taking away from them. So deleting him from, you know, the pay-per-views, you know, or, you know, stuff like that, I don't agree with. Again, you know, he's never going into the Hall of Fame. For people that, for some strange reason, are on that kick, you know, that's never going to happen. I remember exactly, I can tell you in perfect detail how I found out. I was on my way to my wife's house for dinner one night. We were engaged at the time. We weren't married yet. And a buddy of mine actually texted me while I was on the road, and he was like, oh, Benoit died. And I was like, oh, shoot. You know, I didn't know that Sunday night, you know, there was like that Wikipedia thing about, you know, Nancy, you know, that he missed a show because she died, which I never saw that. So, you know, I know a lot of people speculated on that. So I was like, oh, wow. I got home whenever it was I got home. I always DVR Raw. So I watched Raw on delay at home. I didn't watch anything else. You know, didn't turn my computer on really until the next day. And I remember the next morning I was at work and just following up on some stuff. And that's when I learned the details of what happened. And I was a huge Benoit guy. I always loved his work in WCW. I was ecstatic when he jumped to WWE. I was at WrestleMania 20, and I was one of those people chanting tap, tap, tap when he had Hunter in that crossface. You know, huge Benoit guy. Disappointed when he dropped the belt to Orton. You know, was really looking forward to his work with Punk, and, you know, was actually really excited that he got drafted to ECW. I think he could have really launched that company into so much more than what it was. I really, you know, a lot of people say the RVD drug bust kind of did that company in, but I think the fact that you couldn't build a six-month program with Benoit and, you know, Punk or even Morrison, you know, Burke, you know, I think it did damage to that promotion. I agree with what the other caller said. Like, look at all the, you know, as much as everyone complains about, you know, what you see and what you don't see in the product right now, a lot of that did come from him. And you know what? He's probably saved a lot of guys' careers and probably saved a lot of guys' lives. I will say this. I am of the mindset that if Eddie didn't die, this probably never would have happened. I think Eddie could have held him together. But, you know, we'll never know. We'll never know what went through his mind and, you know, what caused him to do what he did.
Exactly. I am for the belief now. I want to talk a little bit about concussions and steroids. We've been touching on that all night long. I'm of the belief that concussions, untreated concussions, played a major role in his mental health state. You know, when these things go untreated, they really screw you up. So I think that had a lot to do with it. Steroids, I don't think that had anything to do with it whatsoever, because this guy was taking steroids nonstop pretty much since he was like, and I've read books on Benoit, he was taking steroids from he was like 17 until he died, until he committed suicide. That's how long this guy was taking steroids, and that is absolutely crazy. And they should just be like, it's like Hulk Hogan said in his book, you know, it was just like brushing his teeth in the morning every day. Taking steroids was the same way. And for Benoit, that's what he did. And there should be no freaking, I know the media blew this whole steroid thing completely out of proportion, because whenever you talk about sports or something like that, steroids is what they always cling on to. And when you talk about roid rage, and I'll admit this openly, I'm admitting this openly on the air, I've taken steroids before. I've taken them. But I have any kind of rage? No, absolutely not. But what they do to you is give you some muscle growth. If you take them the right way, they can really help your performance in the gym and the way your body looks. There's a big difference between use and abuse. Now, if Chris Benoit was abusing steroids at the time, maybe he did have some kind of roid rage. Maybe he did snap and attack Nancy because they fought a lot. This wasn't their only fight. And maybe he did it on accident. Maybe he did it on purpose. All we know is that all the freaking evidence points to Benoit killing Nancy sometime, they say sometime Friday night, maybe early Saturday morning,
and then going and strangling Daniel Benoit, suffocated and killed in the bedroom. And the weird part about this whole thing is that, you know, if you're saying he's mentally ill, schizophrenic, whatever, he left a Bible next to the bodies. There was a lot of consumed alcoholic beverages, yet Benoit had no alcohol in his blood when he did the autopsy. Nancy did, but Benoit didn't. Chris Benoit. The text messages he sent to Chavo Guerrero from both his phone and Nancy's phone were very early in the morning, on Sunday morning, like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that. Just creepy stuff. Like, definitely calls for help, kind of saying that, that hey, this is my physical address. The dogs are locked up. You know, he's pretty much saying, hey, come get me. And Chavo Guerrero was on the receiving end of these text messages, and he didn't really report these to WWE right away at all. He just assumed this was Chris Benoit being Chris Benoit, because as nice of a guy as he was, there's no question that he was a pretty weird dude as well. A lot of people have stated that he was so consumed with the business, especially after Eddie passed away, that he just kind of got a little weird and was kind of detached from everything else in his life. And that in no way, shape, or form gets him off the hook for doing this. Now, I don't think there's anything that can get him off the hook for committing this murder. Now, I'm going to kick it back around. We'll go back around the panel another time here and start with Toph. Should we separate the man, Chris Benoit, from the performer, Chris Benoit?
There is no such thing as something that's unforgivable. If something's unforgivable, it just means that you as a person choose not to forgive to that person. A long time ago, I read a proverb that said that you should hate the actions of men, but not the men themselves. This also goes for ladies as well, but you guys know what I mean. I have no problem separating the person, Chris Benoit, and the performer, Chris Benoit, because I know firsthand that the person, Chris Benoit, was a good man. And I know that whoever that person was that did that wasn't him, because he was insane because of his brain dementia. So I have no problem separating him, and I'm pretty much at peace with it. And I would just really be happy if fans in general would just stop talking about it and just let them all rest in peace. I just think that we'll never know what happened. We should just move on, learn from it. And, you know, even though what happened was unfortunate, because of it, it's changed the business, but in a productive way. And because of that, many, 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 many men from different sports outside of wrestling, football, basketball, soccer, hockey, all that, their careers are going to be saved now because of this. So I have no problem separating them. But I understand why he shouldn't be promoted and why he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not asking for that. All I simply ask for is that fans respect what he did to the business. And pretty much after that, I mean, let's just let him die, you know, just let him rest in peace. Let's just move on.
But this is a wrestling business we're talking about. There's no way that the fans are ever going to let this go. And I just wanted to talk about it openly on the air tonight because it is the 6-year anniversary, and I've never really talked about it openly. As Will knows and a couple other people know, I was a member of this old show, the Wrestling Roundtable, and that show was pretty much started in light of the Benoit murders, you know, and I wasn't a member of the show at the time. I never really got a chance to discuss it on the show. They referred to him as he who we do not speak of, which isn't really a stab at him. It was kind of just an inside joke that they kind of made about it. And I never really got to talk about it openly, aside from within text, you know. I talked about it with my friends and whatnot. Will and I have talked about it before in the past. But I wanted to do this on the show tonight and kind of get it out in the air and kind of give everybody who's listening a chance to voice what they have to say about Chris Benoit. We've had some great callers tonight, and we still have got time in the show. So if you want to call in, the number is 760-888-5749. Give us a call. Share your thoughts on Chris Benoit, anything we've talked about tonight, whether it's concussions, his legacy, whether we separate the man from the performer or not. You know, it's like when you talk about separating the man from the performer, I'm talking about like Glenn Jacobs, right? This guy is not a fire-breathing, you know, hell demon named Kane in real life. That's the performer. Kane is the performer. Glenn Jacobs is the man. Glenn Jacobs is not a dentist. Not at all. No. Glenn Jacobs is a man. You know, Isaac Yankum was a dentist. You know, Chris Benoit, you know, it's kind of different. A lot of these wrestlers have said he was so consumed with the business that they were one and the same. but, you know, it's hard to really tell now. But let's go to the lines. We got a caller. We're going to go to the 832 area code. 832, you're on the air with PWP Radio. What's your name? Where you're from?
Oh, my name's Derek. I'm from Houston.
What's going on, man? What do you got to say tonight about Chris Benoit?
I'm just tuning in for the first time and first time caller as well. I don't think like Chris Michael Benoit as a person was there for those 3 days. Like he was physically there, but I don't think from all the evidence that everyone's given that he was actually mentally there from all those goddamn flying headbutts and the fact that this man from 13 years old, because I've read Ring of Hell, it was a piece of shit, but I read it. But the fact that from 13 years old till the day that he hung himself, he gave everything to wrestling. So much so that, much like Eddie Guerrero, he gave everything. But the difference is one's a hero, the other one is not mentioned at all.
It's because he murdered his wife and kid, though.
Granted, I know, but I'm not condoning killing your wife and kid at all, but I'm not saying I don't believe myself that Chris Benoit was like, hey guys, fuck those other two people that live in this house. I'm going to kill them today. I don't think he made a conscious decision to do that, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. I don't think it was that way either. I don't think he woke up that day and decided to do it. I think, I think he had a fight with Nancy, which happened a lot. There was domestic abuse from both sides, and you said you read Ring of Hell. I did as well. And it wasn't a great book by any stretch of the imagination. They had some good stories. They had some bad stories in it. But I also read Irv Mushnick's book, Chris and Nancy, it's called. And, you know, he had a lot of interviews with people who were closely tied into the relationship of Chris and Nancy, you know, friends of theirs. And there was a lot of problems in their marriage, and they would fight pretty often. And it was kind of like, you know, anybody who does a lot of drugs, which Benoit did, he was only a steroid abuser or user. He was taking prescription painkillers, anxiety medication, depression medication, all this stuff. You figure you mix all the stuff together, something could go wrong. Personally, I think he snapped and they got into a fight. It went a little too far. He snapped, killed her, or knocked her out, and then decided to kill her. Some way, shape, or form, I agree with you. I don't think he woke up and decided to do it.
Yeah, I don't, like, because from what even all the interviews and all the other shit, he wouldn't do it to Daniel. Because even when, I believe it was Michael Benoit, don't quote me on that, but when they told him, hey, Nancy's dead, Chris killed her, he was like, oh, okay, yeah, it kind of makes sense. But when he was said, oh, and he also killed Daniel, that didn't add up to anybody. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a part of it that's really perplexing. He probably, you know, I'm torn on it. You know, there are different ways that you could think about what was going through his head. Did he figure, okay, I killed Nancy already. Did he decide to commit suicide at that moment? Did he say, okay, I'm going to kill myself. I'm taking our son with us. I don't want my son to grow up without both his parents. I don't want my son to grow up without his mother. You know, everyone knew that Daniel, apparently they found Xanax in the system, which kind of tells you that he was drugged by Chris at some point.
So he wasn't actually hurt?
There's talk out there that Daniel may not have suffered any actual physical pain, that he was drugged and sedated at the point where Chris killed him. But whether that kind of speaks into it at all or any way, shape, or form, I don't think it does. I think you're still killing your son no matter which way you try to, you know. Thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having an actual conversation instead of calling him a monster for however long y'all show is. 2 hours.
Well, yeah, I'm not that kind of guy. I have my own thoughts on it. Do I think personally he's a monster? Sure, but I appreciate everybody else's opinion on the topic.
Yeah, like I said before, it's fucked up. But yeah, thanks for having an actual conversation about it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling. All right, we're going to go back to the panel. I guess we're going to go over to TLD. And TLD, man, we're continuing our conversation on Benoit. We've got another half hour left in the show. And I want to pose the same question to you that I posed to Toph. Should we separate the man, Chris Benoit, from the performer, Chris Benoit?
As far as Chris Benoit goes, you know, I do enjoy his wrestling matches. You know, I always enjoy, you know, watching his performance. You know, I was at WrestleMania 20 as well. You know, I was one of those guys that was saying tap, 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 and, you know, really enjoyed that moment. That was great to watch. And, yeah, you know, in a way, I think we have to. You know, it's just that, you know, because you can still watch his matches and, you know, do, you know, you think how great he is, you know. When I watch Chris Benoit matches, I think at times about, you know, that murdering guy, but 95% of the time I'm, like, infatuated by his matches. And, you know, one of my favorite matches of all time was him and Chris Jericho at the Royal Rumble. That was one of my favorite matches ever to watch, with the ladder match for the Intercontinental title. And that was just an amazing match. That's a match I could watch all the time, you know, watching Chris Benoit. And I don't think of Benoit when I watch that as a murderer. I watch him as a WWE superstar, and that's what he was. You know, I think of him in the Four Horsemen, when he was in the Horsemen working like that, and then, you know, watched his match with Bret Hart, you know, in WCW, which was a great match to watch for the Owen tribute. Yeah, you know, there was a lot of great moments that Chris Benoit did as a performer, and I do look at Chris Benoit as a performer and a great performer, you know, but as far as a person goes, I can't say. I never met the guy. I don't have an autograph from him, never saw him. You know, all I know is that, you know, Benoit was just respected backstage, and all I know now is that he's just a very, you know, just a big murderer, and just caused a huge, you know, pro wrestling scare because of all the steroids use and, you know, that bringing all that crap back up, back from 93. So, yeah, I mean, that's I think we definitely have to separate the two.
I had one
opportunity. Go in the Hall of Fame. But he doesn't go in the Hall of Fame, though. I mean, that's just like, but nah, he doesn't go in the Hall of Fame. In the encyclopedia, that's great. You know, shouldn't he be on DVDs? Well, you know, if he's part of the package, you know, there were some great WrestleMania matches he did. You know, I think they should have the show entirety, you know, at least in my opinion, for that, only for that purpose. Other than that, you know, he shouldn't be anywhere else. And there are times where they mentioned Benoit in some articles in WWE. I've seen, you know, anytime a Chris Benoit article is kind of mentioned, or his name is mentioned at some point. He's mentioned very, very lightly, but he is mentioned sometimes.
Yeah, Ric Flair went into deep talk about Chris Benoit in his Hall of Fame speech. That was edited out completely. And pretty much the only Chris Benoit match that's really been just edited out to the T that nobody will ever see again is when he won the belt. And there's other matches that are out there that we get to see.
Yeah, speaking of Benoit editing, what you guys were talking about, the Benoit editing, you said it earlier that if you go on WWE.com, you still see his name. Of course, you can't click on the profile or see anything like that. But fans need to understand, and this is mostly for, like, the younger fans, because, you know, the older fans have been watching wrestling for a while. You guys already know this. So to any younger fans listening, his accomplishments and what he did will never be erased. It's just his name. They're never going to mention his name on TV. They're never going to. You're never going to hear his name. Like, here's the best example. Every year when they do the build-up to the Royal Rumble and they show the hype video and Michael Cole goes through the facts, they always mention that only two men have won the Rumble at number one. Well, everyone knows the first one, Shawn Michaels. Well, number two is Benoit. So that right there is an acknowledgement of an accomplishment that Benoit did. They're going to acknowledge what he did. They're just not going to say his name, because saying his name would then, you know, bring the media and all the other stuff that we've talked about, and it's just not good business mentioning, you know, his name and what he did. And that's really what it's about at the end of the day. About 2 weeks ago, I went to a Walmart, and they had, like, all the WrestleManias – on DVD and, you know, chronological order from 1 all the way to 29. I think they just released, not 29, 28. I think they just released 29 a week ago. I'm not sure. And it was interesting because the WrestleMania 20 DVD was not there. It was vacant. It was like 18, 19, 20 was just gone, and just 21, 22, 23. And so I asked the people, you know, do you guys have a DVD on WrestleMania 20? And they didn't have a 20 DVD, but what they did have was like a Mania, Best of Mania DVD kind of. It was done sometime like 2008 or 9, and it just kind of had a lot of material from 20 was covered. Like, it had Eddie's title win, it had the Goldberg-Lesnar match, it had Guerrero and Angle, but there was no mention. It had Taker and Kane, you know, it had Christian and Jericho, but didn't really have any mention of Benoit and the DVD. So, you know, his accomplishments will be there. They're just not going to directly mention his name on TV. I just want younger fans to understand that.
Yeah, I know I have the Elimination Chamber DVD, and I watched the matches that Benoit was involved in. I think it was the New Year's Revolution one specifically. And he was in it, and they showed all the spots, and they showed everything, even like some of the vicious spots he took in the match. But they just did not have one mention of his name in the commentary. It was just blanked
mm-hmm.
out, and I can agree with that. I'm gonna
they
do
the same thing in the WCW ones.
Yeah, the War Game DVD came out today, and I heard that it's the same way. You know, they have the Benoit match that he was involved in with the Four Horsemen, but they just edited out his name completely. They referred to him as the mystery partner. Frank, I'm going to kick it to you, man. Can we separate, or should we separate, I should say, the man from the performer?
Yeah, and I think it's something that I've done. I think really, like I said, I can pop in Benoit matches, Benoit segments. There's a lot of great moments that I can appreciate on a wrestling level, on a performance level, and I don't have to think about the tragedy that happened 6 years ago and all that. And he is an amazing wrestler. I don't think anything will ever take that away. I mean, Bret Hart handpicked him to work that Owen Hart tribute match, and I think everybody here knows how much that means, coming from Bret, who was very close with Owen, and some of the things that Bret and Owen did together that was very unique. So that tells you a lot about who Chris Benoit was, and we will never know why this happened, but unfortunately, in the annals of WWE and how they handle it, they have to not treat him right and cut him out as much as possible to save face as a corporation, and that is without a doubt the right move. But it's fans, especially as fans like us who lived through the era and saw him rise up through WCW and then in as the Radicals in WWE and go through the smaller belts and make his way all the way up to the top, and him and Eddie both have those titles. That's big for us, and there's a lot of moments there, like I said, the Kurt Angle match at Royal Rumble, winning the Rumble, going from one to the end, the WrestleMania match, just a lot of things. And, you know, even Randy Orton, it always takes away from him. Never really get to show who, how, and he won his first world championship and who he won it from. And it is a shame that it does cut out the other people that he was in the ring with, because obviously they were just as much a part of the magic that was going on in those segments. But unfortunately, this is where we're at. I don't think we're ever going to get much more information than we have right now. We probably could do a special like this all over again a year from now, Jay, and I don't think we've learned anything new, and I don't think anybody really come out with anything more than probably more garbage conspiracy theories that hold no weight. And it's a damn shame what happened, and obviously wrestling is no virgin to tragedy, because we lost a lot of people young and a lot of drug using and just horrible things that went on. But this was very bad, and the media really kicked us when we were down. I don't want to seem like I have to be defending the industry and defending being a wrestling fan in this time, but it really pissed me off back then, because this was the action of one person and maybe one sick person, and it very much made the whole industry look bad, and everybody who had their 2 minutes of fame on WCW or WWE. And they were damn lucky they ever got there, because they had no talent whatsoever. Now they're coming on as experts and former wrestlers and accolades and this and that. And they're on primetime and CNN and Fox News, and they're just blowing this out of proportion. And you couldn't buy wrestling media before, but now all of a sudden there's a champion in his belt on the cover of every New York newspaper the whole week. And it just, it was crazy what they did with it. And I really, I look back at that in such shame. And it's just the way the U.S. media is. They're going to kick anything when they're on the ground and just topple onto it. I think we all know that.
Yeah, they really beat the dead horse while it was got down. I specifically remember watching Nancy Grace, and I hate that woman. She sucks. But I watched her one night during this whole Chris Benoit thing, and she said, and this just shows you how uninformed the media was on just simple little nuances. She said something along the lines of, Chris Benoit, the man who left the Four Horsemen and recently joined the ECW. What the f*** are you talking about, lady? Like, are you fucking serious? Like, nobody there in your fucking staff can really just come up with the fact that that is completely wrong. What the hell is wrong with you? I'm going to kick it to the phone lines real quick, and we'll see what the 908 area code's got to say. 908, you're on the air with PWP Radio. What's up? What's your name? Where are you from?
Hey, it's Bill Critchard. What's going on, guys?
Bill, what's up, man? How you doing tonight, Bill?
I'm all right. Kind of caught your show late, but interesting conversation going on here. So I hope
thanks, man.
Call
well, Bill's famous for his reports on WrestleZone.com, a website that I absolutely love.
Hey.
Just kidding. but I respect
I
you, man. You're a good guy. You're a good guy.
Don't sugarcoat it.
I
want to
hear
everybody else.
Yeah, is, man. Exactly. I want to hear your thoughts, man. What are your thoughts on Chris Benoit?
Well, first, I'll agree. Nancy Grace is a pig.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
she got her facts wrong. I remember that. And on a side note, you know Colin Coward from ESPN?
Oh yeah, absolutely. All
right. When Eddie Guerrero died, he went on a little thing similar where they didn't know the facts and they were just kind of like blowing it out of proportion. So I kind of get where you're coming from about the popular media being uninformed. But to your earlier point, I don't really separate, you know, the performer and the person. Kind of hard to do so. But at the same time, I'm not going to go back and watch a match and be like, oh man, like he's a murderer. I'm watching it for what it is. Like the triple threat double title defense at WrestleMania 2000 is like one of my all-time favorite matches. I'm not sitting there thinking, you know, like, oh, think about all the bad things he did. I'm enjoying it for like what it is. Like it's a great match, it's entertaining, like I'm gonna watch it over and over just because it's like, you know, it's fun to watch. Like, but at the same time, I can't separate the two as a whole, because I really feel like when you're in that type of profession, like it, you know, like as an athlete or a wrestler, you know, that is who you are. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm in the minority here. I feel like a lot of people tonight have been telling you otherwise.
Well, we've had so many different perspectives, and that's exactly what I wanted tonight. I wanted just a lot of different people with a lot of different opinions, and I stated early in the show when we first got going that I have trouble separating the man from the performer, because I freaking will watch I watched the Raw tribute show last night from start to finish. I watched the entire thing, and I'm watching some of these Benoit matches, and I just could not help to cringe during some of the spots where he just took shots to the head or did the diving headbutt. I enjoy those matches. A lot of them are classics. He was absolutely phenomenal in the ring. But it's just cringeworthy for me. And it's something that has happened pretty much every match I've watched the last 6 years that involved Chris Benoit. I remember they specifically showed the one clip over and over and over again on the media back in the day, and that was when Benoit did the diving headbutt and landed directly on Elijah Burke's knees during his last televised match with Burke on ECW. And it was just a brutal spot, man. His head just hit his knees so damn hard, just full force. And he could have worked that better, but he didn't, you know, and that's just a part of what Chris Benoit did. He always just, his head first headbutt was just so brutal on his body, and I think that has a lot to do with the trauma he took to his brain all the years. You know, there's no question about that. I'm going to bring John back in. John, man, we've been talking about whether we can separate the performer from the man. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I kind of lie with everyone else that I can watch his matches and not be, oh, my God, that's a murderer. But you just can't take away from what the guy did. I look at it as, like, reverse it. Take an actor who plays the worst type of person, murderer, rapist, racist, whatever it is. That you can separate. Okay, so-and-so really isn't going to go out and, you know, kill, you know, women or rape somebody or, you know, be racially, you know, whatever, because you know there's a character and there's a person. The problem with Benoit is that the performer, although it is technically a character, at the end of the day, for him, was still the person because he did, like you had brought up, Glenn Jacobs is Kane in the ring, but Glenn Jacobs is not Kane outside the ring. So many people said, like, I liken it almost to Undertaker. Mark is Taker until recently 24/7. Benoit was Benoit all the time. He, you know, we've heard so many stories, and you guys touched on it earlier about how he was always that intense, how, you know, it was business. We even heard it how he would have Daniel act backstage. You know, Daniel had to be, you know, very professional, very respectful. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it was almost, militant's a strong word, but I guess you kind of get it was very strict, you know. Right. And, you know, it kind of tied in. So in that sense, I can watch a match and not freak out, but I don't look at them as two separate people. I still look at them, it's one person who, over the course of whenever he left TV that Tuesday night when they filmed ECW, went home and all hell broke loose.
Then, and we'll never know exactly why, you know, like I've stated before, a lot of problems in the household. A lot of people who weren't involved in the wrestling industry that Irv Mushnick, he had interviewed in his book, and I don't have the book with me right now, but I can't quote directly, but there were some friends of Benoit who weren't wrestlers that Mushnick talked to him and said Chris was acting funny over that final couple weeks of his life, that he was just so, like, up on, like, Red Bulls and just different kind of drugs all the time. You know, he had uppers, downers, all kinds of shit. He was just acting weird. There's another story that he was very paranoid during these, like, weeks and months leading up to his death.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, Daniel wasn't allowed outside. Nancy had to be home before 6 o'clock. He was just very – she had to check in with him all the time when he was on the road, like, no matter what.
Yeah.
There was paranoia. He lived in a gated community. He had two giant dogs patrolling the house. A lot of people said that he thought he was being followed. I know Bob Holly just stated in his book, I haven't read the book, but I read this quote, that he said that Benoit had serious alcohol issues. Now, when things were going bad with Nancy, he would turn to the bottle, and he would drink more than any man should, especially a man of his size. When you break it down, the guy was jacked up to the gills, but he really wasn't that tall and that heavy, you know what I mean? So he was a heavy, heavy drinker. There are just so many things that factor into this. And like Tope said earlier, and other people have said tonight, and you too, John, Eddie Guerrero's death played a gigantic role in this entire thing. Because the time between Eddie Guerrero's death and this tragedy, it wasn't that long.
No, I think it was like a year and a half. Can I ask you guys a question? I know I got on late. Did you guys touch the subject of how the tribute and everything was handled?
Well, I talked about it, how Vince McMahon, I think from all the timelines that I've seen, who knew about it and when they knew about it, that Vince McMahon knew this was considered a double murder-suicide by the time he greenlit the tribute show. That's what I've understood. If you've got anything else to add on it, please go right ahead.
I've always heard, and everything I always knew about it was they kind of found out halfway through, that I heard that there was some speculation, but it was never really known 100%. And, yeah, that I heard they found out about halfway through, and at that point they were just screwed because they were already on air. And the one thing I've always said is Vince should, you know, for people who kind of have thought the same way I did about the tribute show, I've always said to them that, you know, some of them have said, well, Vince should have stopped the show. Why? Vince should be the one that announces live on national TV that this wasn't an accidental death, that Benoit murdered his wife and son. Hell no, Vince should not have been that man, you know, to announce that. I know in hindsight some of the news sites started reporting it while Raw was on the air, so that may play into kind of, you know, what you said about the fact that they did know at 8 o'clock, because I think someone like the CNNs and whatnot were speculating on it by like 10 o'clock or 10:30. But, yeah, I've always was of the mindset that they kind of found out halfway through, and at that point they were just stuck.
Right, well,
I don't really think, you know, like I'm agreeing with him, like, you know, Vince or nobody should have went on the air and, you know, they shouldn't have canceled the show. But I feel like if they did know this much halfway through, they, you know, like they could have just went with, you know, Matt unannounced matches, kind of like they did, and just, you know, not mentioned that it was a tribute show throughout and not shown all the, you know, like the backstage, you know, promos and whatever they did. Like, I think they could have just went with, like, the show that they did. I know it's not entirely similar, but when, what was it, Shawn Michaels and Cena went, like, it wasn't an announced Iron Man match, but, you know, that one episode Raw, like, it went most of the second hour. Like, they could have done something like that where they didn't really sell it. They just let it happen, and instead of being like, oh, we're Chris Benoit, like, blah, 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 they could have just cut it out. Like, not for nothing, but they already do that with certain things where if they want to kill it, they stop mentioning it, or, like, even, like, this year with Fandango, like, they promote the hell out of it. So I don't know what they knew, but if I'm, you know, if I'm going with, like, all the reports and stuff and they did find out halfway through, I think, yeah, maybe they could have, you know, just went with matches and maybe went with, like, a silent commentary. I mean, that's kind of even what they did with Jerry Lawler with the heart attack.
But Bill, can I ask you a question, though? How do you sit there and, you know, okay, so let's say you find out at 9:30, okay, that this was a double murder suicide. Now you got to go into that locker room and tell guys who are already emotionally destroyed over this, what, you know, depending on, forget what they know, what they don't know. All they know is that Chris, Daniel, and Nancy are dead. Now you're Vince or you're John Laurinaitis or whoever. You got to go into that locker room and say, okay, I need two guys to step up and do a match. Well, why? I thought we're paying tribute to Chris, Daniel, and Nancy. Oh, yeah, Chris. We found out Chris killed Daniel and Nancy, then killed himself. You're not going to get two guys to go out in that ring and perform under that. I mean, that's no knock on anybody in that locker room, but I just think that's a lot to ask, you know, of guys, you know, in already a tough situation. That would have been just, I don't know, man.
Had a regular show with all that going on, it would have made them look even more inhumane. They were just kind of stuck there. They had no choice.
I will respectfully disagree, though, because I think you would have found some, not even just two guys, like, I'm not saying finish the show with that long of a match, but you basically would have found out, like, who's a guy to keep around, like, who would step up in that moment, no matter how much it sucked. Like, you would find out what you have, and no matter how you swing it, like, it's a shitty situation.
Right. I mean, could you really hold it against somebody if they just kept sitting there and didn't step up? I mean, I don't think could.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't hold it against them, but at the same time, the guys that did do that, I would remember that, and I mean, even if I was, you know, I'm like hypothetically saying like I'm in charge over there, but, you know, that's the type of, I mean, almost political stuff that you'll remember, like, that's almost like one of the crappiest things you can do where, you know, you put your own feelings and, you know, like, you just put it aside and do it for, like, no one man's bigger than the show type of deal. Like, you go out, finish the show for the fans, and basically to, like, honor the deal with the TV networks and, like, the fans in the arena, like, but,
well,
yeah,
there were
no matter what happened.
There were no fans in that arena. And then how
I'm
do you explain to
general.
People at home? Right, I understand.
No,
that.
I'm talking in general, like, no matter
right,
what.
Right, no,
like,
I get that, but let me ask you this now. Now you've got people, okay, like I said, when I saw that show, I didn't turn on any news. I actually left my computer off. So now you get someone like me who has no clue what happened. Here I am watching a tribute until 9:30, and then all of a sudden here comes a second half of a show, albeit, let's say, silent commentary, whatever the case is. Now you're in a spot where people are going to be like, what the hell? They're putting their product on in the wake of this tragedy. It's still, unfortunately, one of those things that at the end of the day, Vince, there was no even near close to a right way to handle it, unfortunately. And it just, it was one of those things there, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And, you know, it just sucks. And I just hope that we never, as fans, and I hope for Vince and the company's sake, we never have to experience something like this again.
I would like to end this more on a positive note. Jay, earlier you were asking about Benoit's legacy. There's actually one thing that he did leave behind. It's one of the more underrated legacies that's hardly ever mentioned. And I think it's his legacy of being a United States champion. You know, best of luck to Dean Ambrose and whoever else is going to be U.S. champion in the future. The U.S. championship has basically been a joke for a long time. And what I liked the most about the Ruthless Aggression era, if you will, was there wasn't really a face that defined it. The Ruthless Aggression era just had multiple guys all over the card. And Benoit was one of those guys, and he was a very solid United States champion. He was one of the last guys to make that belt mean something. The way I see it, a belt is only as important as how many times it's defended at WrestleMania. And the last time the United States Championship was at WrestleMania was when Benoit fought MVP at WrestleMania 23. But since WWE wants to pretend that Benoit didn't exist, the last time the U.S. title was at WrestleMania was WrestleMania 20 with John Cena and the Big Show. So, I mean, I think it may have been the fate of 22 or some other show of JBL. I'm not sure.
It was Benoit 22 against JBL as well.
Well, there you go. There's another point right there. He was the United States champion. I have a friend, a younger friend of mine. I remember this. This is during the very last draft they had in 2011. I think Sheamus or was it Kofi? One of them was the U.S. champion, and they got drafted elsewhere. Yeah, Sheamus, thanks. It was Sheamus. He was drafted to SmackDown. And there's a lot of people in the chat room that were asking about the U.S. title. Because, as you know, WWE, they have a younger audience. There are many kids that were asking about the United States Championship and, you know, who was the last person that defended it. And Howard Finkel and other Hall of Famers, they started banning people that were asking those questions because it was related to Benoit. I think that Benoit was one of the last solid United States champions, but not just him, guys like himself, MVP, Shelton Benjamin. I think that he was from that era, the very last era where the U.S. title meant something. And pretty much like after, you know, his death around 08 and 09, and forward, the belt just kind of lost meaning, and there you go. So, just wanted to end this on a positive note.
Yeah, great, great final thoughts, and that's what I want to do right now. I want to go around the panel one last time. We've got a little more than 5 minutes left, and I just want to get final thoughts. So, I'm going to kick it. I just got told from the ticket to Frank Manzo. Frank, your final thoughts on Chris Benoit?
Oh, I did pretty much everything I've been talking about and thinking about, and I exhausted all that. I just want to say about the actual tribute show, what they've been talking about the past couple of minutes. Even if Vince got that information backstage, I think we all know it's a pretty hectic environment on a normal night, running a live Raw, running that tribute show with the interviews with the people and Vince going out to the ring and doing what he did and the highlights and the commentary live at ringside and doing everything and having everybody in that state. And when I can tell you from having tragedies from people close to me. When you don't have all the facts right away, it makes it so much, so much worse. And I think that's what everybody there was experiencing. And honestly, if I was Vince and I got that information halfway through, I would have definitely kept going, especially since there was a lot of information going back and forth and a lot of different stories going around all day. And it takes time, a certain amount of time, and a certain right people to confirm certain things. And I think Vince needed the necessary time to do that. And I don't think possibly going on the air and saying the wrong thing or changing the format of the show, what they decided to go with, I think they did the right thing in staying the course, what they did. And then obviously we saw a completely different attitude the next day.
Absolutely. How about John, your final thoughts tonight for Ken Lock?
Yeah, it's unfortunate because he's one of the greatest, as far as in-ring goes, performers that the younger generation and the generations that come after us will never know about. He's still a piece of garbage. For 4 days, I've heard people say, you can't judge him. I can't. Maybe I've gotten softer as a new father, whatever. But I can never, 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 picture doing that to a child, especially a child that had some of the issues that Daniel had. I will never be able to get past that. And it's really hard for me to say that because I love the guy as an in-ring performer. Love the guy. But, at the end of the day, it is what it is. What can you really say about it,
Absolutely. TLD just called back. TLD, man, we've got 2 minutes left. Final thoughts on Chris Benoit.
It's always going to be – it's always kind of cool to see, it's not cool, but it's interesting to see how everything plays out and, how wrestling has been affected by this. But, it's a learning lesson for pro wrestling. It's a learning lesson for us that, someone you could see as a hero may not always be a hero. And, that was the case with Chris Benoit. And that's, the way it comes down to it is that Benoit's a murderer. He's always going to be labeled as a murderer, and that's it. But next week we have positive things, so that's always good for next week.
Absolutely. And you can expect more positive things in the future. And I don't necessarily think this was a negative show in any way, shape, or form. But I want to thank everybody that called in. I want to thank the panel. I want to thank Frank from Russell Reaction. Check him out each and every Monday night. Right after Monday Night Raw, a live video show. I think it's pretty awesome that they do that. So thanks for calling in, Frank. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me, Jay. Thank you for the shout-out. Thank you, everybody else.
You got it. And thanks to everybody else who called in. Thanks to Toph, John, Ronnie, everybody who called over, Bill Pritchard, everybody who called from all over the world. I appreciate it. This has been a heartfelt show. We've had a lot of different opinions. Whether you're a Chris Benoit guy or you're not, whether you can glorify his career and his legacy or you don't, your opinion matters, and I care about your opinion. So talk to me on Twitter about it if you want to. Find me on Twitter at PW Powerhouse, on Facebook at facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. For the panel, this is Jersey Strong Jay signing out. Keep it real, everybody. Have yourself a great night.